As we get to the end of the book of Corinthians, here at the very end of the book of 1 Corinthians, we find some very sobering words, beginning with verse 22. If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema, maranatha. If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema, maranatha. We have a phrase here that is quite sobering, that would summarize those who are ready to meet the Lord versus those who are not ready to meet the Lord. You know, sometimes the Bible is so straightforward, it's shocking. And in this case, it is shocking. What it says that is the normal characteristic of a person who has been born again, who is ready to meet the Lord Jesus Christ at his coming. If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ. Now we know, obviously, they were surrounded by people. There were some who obviously did not love the Lord Jesus Christ. In 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 3, it says, wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed. There are obviously those who in their very midst hated the Lord Jesus Christ. And certainly, they were devoted to destruction. And that does not bewilder us when we think of that. And we are living in a day in which there are many who do not love the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, they despise the Lord Jesus Christ. They despise the Bible. They despise the God of the Bible. But there are many who are not people who despise him, but would they fit into the category of those that love him? Now, what did the Apostle Paul mean here? As you think of this book, think of all the things he said. Think about the fact that he is dealing with those who are have a carnal party spirit. They aren't listening to the Word of God. They aren't thinking about God's will. They're thinking about their group that they have in the church, and they're denounced. Do you think that they like to be denounced as being carnal? What do you think? I don't think they like being denounced as being carnal. I don't think that it was a fun thing when the Apostle Paul said to the church, your glorying is not good. There's this man who is dealing with incest, having his father's wife, and he says, you need to deal with this. You need to deal with this sin. And he says, your glorying is not good. They were glorying in the fact that they could tolerate this sin. They could tolerate this person. They weren't going to do anything about it. He put it right in front of them that they need to do something about this, that their whole spirit was wrong. Maybe maybe the situation was because they weren't going to deal with it because he was in the leading group, you know. He was one of the friends of the leading group, and because he was a friend and part of the leading group, well, you know, you don't touch them. But then in 1 Corinthians 6, there are those that are going to take a matter to court. And he is denouncing the fact that that their personal gain, their personal thoughts are more important than God. You know, he's kind of saying, you know, if you love God, are you going to try to protect his name? Or are you going to try to, you know, protect yourself or put yourself first, and you don't really care what happens to the reputation of the church? Isn't that amazing? Some have no, they don't care about what they say publicly or what they do publicly. You know, that's pretty serious, isn't it? They obviously were loving themselves more than God. You know, you think about what he said in 1 Corinthians 3. He said that if any man defiles the temple of God, the church, him will God destroy. Those are pretty serious words, aren't they? If any man defiles the temple of God, the local church. You know, we live in a day in which people have no druthers about destroying churches. They have absolutely no druthers about what they say, what they write. And in the church at Corinth, obviously, through their carnality and their party spirit, they were destroying, defiling the church. And the Apostle Paul said, of course, he told them, it's going to be a pretty sad day at the judgment. Pretty sad day at the judgment. But he also, he gave them a very stern warning. He says, if any man defile the temple of God, him will God destroy. Now we've got some preachers here tonight. And you know what? They could tell you all sorts of horror stories that people who get involved in that, they don't make it. And their families don't make it. Very, very serious things that he's dealing with in this whole passage of Scripture. Of course, he's dealing with important issues. Like giving up your rights. Well, you know, as I've preached on 1 Corinthians through the years, most people don't get it. That's one thing they don't get. Most people don't get it, that as a Christian, for God's sake, it's right to give up your rights for the testimony of the Lord and for the furthering of the work of God. And of course, that doesn't work today, because today everybody is about their rights. Everybody is about doing what holding on to their so-called Christian rights. Now, Apostle Paul said, you know, I had a right. I have a right to be paid. I'm an apostle. He said, but you know what? I gave up my right to be paid because I love God. I love God so much, I was willing to be a tent maker so the work of God could go forward. He said, you know what? We know that idols are nothing. They're just made out of stone. They're made out of wood. They're absolutely nothing. But for the Lord's sake, you don't want to have anything to do with those things. They're a stumbling block. They're confusion. They cause those who have a weak conscience to get the wrong idea, lead them down the wrong path. And you give up your rights for the cause of Christ. Now he's dealing with these many different subjects, and he's correcting them, and certainly he was he really stepped on some toes when he was talking about their abuse of the gifts. Boy, he's really stepping on a lot of toes there, and he came down pretty strong, and he said, you know, this is the way you do it. And if you're not doing this, you're not following God's order. So what's the response to all this going to be? I mean, that's a good question. What's the response going to be? Now, I think it's obvious that there are those who hate Jesus Christ, and they're devoted to, they're going to be destroyed. But why does he say those that love not the Lord Jesus Christ? What would be the effect? What would be the characteristic of a person who loves the Lord Jesus Christ? I think that's the issue. You know, what I think the issue is, I'm not sure, but it seems that he's hinting at a principle. You know, if you love the Lord Jesus Christ, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? Are you going to obey the Word of God? Or are you going to refuse the Word of God? Isn't that the issue? Jesus said, my sheep hear, I know my sheep. He says, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. What is the characteristic, did he say, of a person who is a child of God? The characteristic of a person who is a child of God is that a child of God hears the Word of God, and what do they do about it? They obey it. They obey God's Word. They may not. You know what? We don't always like it, but we know it's the truth. Amen? We may fight it, but we know it's the truth. You know, really, the whole ministry is based on that one principle. The whole ministry is based on one principle. Is Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. You give somebody the Bible, they're saved. And they're going to respond to it. If you don't give them the Bible, you don't give them a chance to respond to it. Now, again, this is my thought. The biggest problem with the the mega churches is they think they have a crowd, but they really don't have a crowd, do they? And you know what? I remember just a couple of years ago, there's a boy at the university. I think his name is Nate, Logan is his name. He won't come and talk to me anymore. But he says he's saved, and he's in one of those compromising groups. And I challenged him a couple times. I said, Logan, now, if you'd preach on you know, whatever, if you'd preach on divorce, or you'd preach on, you know, drunkenness, or you preach on modesty in the mega churches, I says, what would happen? And you know what he said? He says, most of the people would walk out. They'd walk out. You know why? Because they aren't sheep. They aren't God's sheep. And you know, there's only one way you can find out if people are God's sheep. And, you know, we never know that necessarily conclusively, but you only know it one way. Give them the Bible. I remember we have a neighbor here, a very, very well-known neighbor. Thank the Lord, he did get saved, but a prominent person in the community. And one day we were at the city hall, and he came up to me and he says, "Now, Ron," and I kind of can hear what he was saying. He says, Now, Ron, you know, you don't really need to make those people over there live the way they do." And I looked at him in the eye and I says, "You know, I don't think you understand." I said, "You know, our ladies, they love to dress like ladies. Our ladies want to dress like ladies. We don't make them dress like ladies. Our people don't want to drink. Our people don't want to drink." You know, I know the fellow say, but you know what? He didn't understand. He didn't understand what the ministry is all about. He didn't understand what true salvation really does in a person's life. And he didn't understand that if you give people the Bible and let them know what the Bible says, saved people are going to obey the Bible. Amen? Saved people are going to obey the Bible. And the fact is, too many preachers would never take time to find out if they got saved people in the church or not, because they're going to avoid everything that is going to cause some kind of response. And, you know, nobody wants the wrong kind of response. But you know what? You don't have much of a church. You don't have any church. You don't have a church worth having if you don't have people in this church who, when they hear the Bible, don't respond to it. They fight it. That's not a church. There's no blessing in that. That's just misery. Amen? There's not sweet fellowship. There's not joy when you come to church. There's not power in prayer, and there's not, and you know what? There's not power in soul winning either. But the Apostle Paul is preaching a pretty hard-hitting message here. And I have been told that 1 Corinthians is not a book you want to preach from. Brother Franders is teaching it at BCM. But about a year ago, Brother Westcoe came to our church. Remember him? And you know what he said? And he didn't know I was preaching to the 1 Corinthians. He says, you know, if you want to have a church split, preach through 1 Corinthians. Not too funny, but quite prophetic. Quite prophetic. Because you're dealing with issues that hit at the very description of what is carnality. What does a fleshly Christian look like? How do they respond when you deal with fleshliness? How do you have, you only can have spiritual people who are, you can tell if they're spiritual or not if they're willing to give up their rights for the betterment of the church and for its ministry. That's a pretty big rarity, isn't it? And so the Apostle Paul ends, and maybe I'm putting some words in his mouth, but he ends the book. He says, if any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, let's put it in a different way. You know what? Only if you would love the Lord Jesus Christ would you give up your party spirit for the sake of Christ. Only if you love the Lord Jesus Christ would you give up your personal rights if they would be a stumbling block. Only if you love the Lord Jesus Christ would you be willing to do some things like the Apostle Paul suggested in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, where he said, I think it's good that a man not touch a woman. He says, in the days in which we live and the gospel needs to be spread to the ends of the world, I think it's good if you don't get married. Now that's pretty far out. I mean, there'd have to be some person really have to love the Lord to give that right up to spread the gospel. You know, if a person lost some money, you know, they hired a Christian contractor and they lost a bunch of money, it'd be kind of hard for them to say, forget the money. Forget the money. To take this brother to court would be a bad testimony. Forget the money. You'd have to love the Lord to give up money, especially in America, right? You'd have to love the Lord a lot to give up money so that people wouldn't think badly of the Lord and your church. I mean, because you know, you put it in the setting here. You know, it's about the Lord, but the reality is it was in a local situation and it put a reflection on the church at Corinth, didn't it? So it takes some real love to respond to the Word of God. It takes some real love to obey the Lord. You know, it takes real love to put the Lord in front of your friends, right? It takes a lot of love to put the Lord in front of your friends. And we have all of those issues put together in this book, many others. And he sums it up. He says, if any man love not the Lord. If any man love not the Lord. Now, you know, everybody's going to say, I love the Lord. You know what I mean? Everybody's going to say, I love the Lord. Of course, I love the Lord. So, he accompanies that with a pretty good word here. He says, Maranatha, the Lord's coming. And you'll have to stand right before him No, you can't fool anybody. You can fool people, but you can't fool the Lord. Amen. You can fool your friends. You can tell people how much you love the Lord. But guess what? Jesus is coming. And he knows the facts. Amen. He knows reality. He knows how they responded to this word. He knows what they did, how they responded. And he knows if they really did love him. And that's a sobering truth, isn't it? You know, you can fool the preacher. You can fool your friends. You know, I never met a Christian that backslid that said, I don't love the Lord. You ever meet a Christian that backslid that said, I don't love the Lord? I never met a Christian who's backslidden that say, I don't love the Lord. In fact, I find very few people who are doing wrong, they want to make sure that you know that they love the Lord. I love the Lord, you know. If you have eyes, you probably see something's happening that's obviously the truth that they don't love the Lord, but they want you to know, I love the Lord. Pastor, I want you to know how much I love the Lord. But the Lord's coming, and they can't fool him. And he is coming. Amen. The Lord is coming. That's going to be a serious day. That's going to be a serious day when the Lord comes. Is it going to be a serious day? Because there are some who profess to love the Lord that never been born again. You think they're going to fool the Lord on that day? I don't think they're going to fool the Lord. Not at all. They can fool people, but they can't fool the Lord. Maranatha, the Lord is coming. Lo, he cometh. And the people at Corinth. The Lord's coming. In one sense of the word, you know, the Apostle Paul is saying, you know what, I gave you the word of God. This is the truth. You know what, I really can't do anything about it. I can't force you to do anything about it, but the Lord's coming. The Lord's coming. You know, it's kind of like probably at your house. You know, the kids are having some kind of, one person is saying, we ought to do this, and that's right. Another person says, I don't care about that. Well, I don't want to do that. And then someone all of a sudden says, hey, Dad's coming in a couple minutes. All of a sudden, things kind of shape up a little bit, don't they? But the Lord is coming. And that's what we want to be reminded of tonight, is the Lord is coming. And that will be the day in which it is known by him if we love the Lord Jesus Christ. If we love the Lord Jesus Christ. Or if we just pretend to love the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is a very important question tonight. Do you love the Lord Jesus? Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. You know, if you love me, then I remember a preacher one time, he said, this is when snowmobiles first came out. This is a good preacher in Wisconsin, and his kids bought him a snowmobile suit for Christmas. And he was really excited about that. He has probably kind of had the farmer apparel for snowmobiling, you know what I mean? And it was pretty cold. And he got the snowmobile suit, and he was pretty excited about it. And then he thought about it. He said, I just wonder what I taught my children. I wonder if I taught my children that I love my snowmobile suit more than I love the Lord. I wonder if I just taught my children I love my snowmobiling more than seeing souls get saved. When's the last time my children saw me come home all excited about someone coming to the Lord? I wonder if my children measure my excitement about serving the Lord as being more exciting than getting the snowmobile suit. All those things are somewhat of a measure of how much we love the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's bow in prayer. Father, we thank you tonight that you have narrowed down so much into one statement. And it's a statement not of words, but a statement of reality. A statement that is proven by our response to you, the God of the Bible, and what and who we will put first in our life. And Lord, even tonight, I pray that we would measure the place the Lord Jesus has in our life, if we truly do love him. If we would put him above and before the world, if we will put him above and before the applause, the approval of carnal people, if we love him so that we would put our personal desires aside, the test if we truly love the Lord Jesus. With our heads bowed and eyes closed, perhaps you're here tonight and you would be honest to say, you know, I go to church out of duty. I do things out of duty. It's just, you know, kind of motions. And tonight, this very phrase, if any man love not the Lord Jesus, is stirring your heart. It's unsettling your soul. And you're here tonight and you say, Pastor, pray for me. Maybe you're not saved. Maybe you're here tonight and the world has stolen your heart. And maybe you've associated with people who say they love the Lord, but they're not willing to obey the Bible. And you need to come to realize that evil communications corrupt good manners. But the Lord is speaking to you tonight about this very issue. Do you love the Lord Jesus Christ enough to obey him, to put him first, to do what the Bible says, no matter what it would cost you? And you say tonight, Pastor, pray for me. The Lord has spoken to my heart that this is a reality that is troublesome to your soul. And say, pray for me. God's speaking to my heart tonight. Anyone here tonight? Okay. All right. Amen. Perhaps even tonight there's a specific thing in your life that the Lord has spoken to you about that you need to just decide that you're going to obey God. You're just going to decide that that you love the Lord, and because you love the Lord, you are going to put this thing in its proper place. And tonight, by the grace of the Lord, you say, you know what? I'm going to put the love of the Lord first in my life, above this very thing, situation, relationship that is against the Bible, is a bad testimony. And tonight, you're saying, tonight I'm surrendering. I'm putting the love of the Lord first in my life in this specific situation. Anyone here tonight? Okay. Praise the Lord. Okay. Amen. Amen. It's very important. I'm putting the love of the Lord first over this situation. Okay. Amen. Lord, now thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for your mercy to us. Thank you for important decisions, Lord, in lives tonight. And Lord, we pray that you'll give grace, you'll give strength. And Lord, as your people obey you, they truly will discover anew and afresh the love of the Lord Jesus Christ and the joy of the Lord. Pray that you would be glorified, whatever situation. Pray for, Lord, if there be anyone here tonight that they're in their life, they are lacking that real new birth that would make them obedient, hearing sheep, where the Word of God would have power and be the center of the Lordship of Jesus Christ in their life. So draw them to yourself, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name.